Hey, it's Joy from Breaking Curses 101. I am so happy that you chose to join me right now. Today, it is January the 16th, and it is morning time here in North Carolina. It was kind of gloomy weather, raining earlier. I like days like these because the work slows down a little bit if you're in construction, working on the outside. Or even sometimes errands get put off and you have time to think. So I want to talk to you today about judges. Now, in the book of Judges, in the Bible, God sent people to relieve Israel of their suffering. Now, our version of judge today is someone who sits in the courtroom, but in the book of Judges, it wasn't the case. A judge was considered someone who came to bring judgment. So, it's a lot of bloodshed surrounding those judges. But Israel was oppressed. They had gone into sin and other nations came to attack because of their sin. And so God would send them people to relieve them of their suffering. These weren't priests, okay? This wasn't the Savior, but these were people who were intermittently sent to the people of Israel to help them fight the enemy around them, the immediate enemy around them. Remember Samson? Samson was a judge. He was considered one of the judges. One thing I noticed among these judges, when you go pick up the Bible and actually look at the book of Judges, first, before you even read the whole book, just kind of skim over it and see who these people were. And you'll notice these judges were just ordinary, imperfect people with the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them to do a specific job. And that's really what the whole Bible is about. It's about God anointing ordinary, screwed up, jacked up, sinful people to help other people. And it's not about being perfect. It's about His power resting on a person at that time. Now, here in America, we have gone through a brutal election here in 2020, and a lot of alleged election fraud happened that no one really got to see because of influences in the airways. And so many people don't agree that there was fraud because they never got a chance to see it, and that's fair on their part. So there's a lot of contention between people right now about this election. And one thing that is prevailing over everything is this hatred for this president that called President Trump. There's just a lot of hatred for him. But I believe God sent him here as a judge. Now, he's definitely not a perfect man. He's come out of a lot of raunchy, seedy stuff. Okay, but he yielded himself to God to be a president, you know, whatever God called him to do. Yeah, he yielded himself to God. And what people do is they roast him and lambaste him, you know, because of his past, which everybody has a past. And if you don't, your grandmama did, and that's how you got here. So it's just all this hatred over the judges. Just want to let you know, judges were not perfect. And today, I am going to read you a story, not word for word verbatim, but I've kind of written it out so that I can understand it and explain it to you. And this is coming from the book of Judges, chapter 11 and 12. Today I'm going to talk to you about Jephthah. want to tell you about my School of Deliverance. The Breaking Curses 101 School of Healing and Deliverance is an online school where I have created classes to walk you through deliverance. These are actual online deliverance sessions where the Holy Spirit shows up and starts talking to you during the sessions. No lie, I'm just the bucket and he has filled the bucket. I created the bucket and he has put his presence in this thing. And people are seeing the strongholds on their lives. People are seeing the folks in their lives that are cursing them. People are finding accursed objects in their homes. The Holy Spirit is illuminating all these things while they're going through. And then my prayers are casting these demons out. And then people are experiencing revolutionary change in their lives. And then I offer mentoring, where you're invited to Zoom sessions in a group for more deliverance online. And I have combined the online classes and the mentoring in a low payment membership. And then if you want one-on-one sessions, you are able to get those as well. So check it out at breakingcurses101.thinkific.com, and the link may change to breakingcurses101.com. I'm also on Facebook and YouTube. Go to the site to download my latest book, Five Types of People in a Famine. Just go to the site and look at the top tab and you'll find the books link, and then you'll see the books that I offer. I wrote Removing the Barriers to Healing, which many people have reported getting healed when they read the book. And it teaches you how to walk in the healing ministry. Your life will never be the same after you read this book. You'll be able to pray for anybody about anything and see results, okay? So download my free book, Five Types of People in a Famine, and buy Removing the Barriers to Healing. So, Judges chapter 11 talks about a judge named Jephthah. Like I said, he didn't go to law school. He's not sitting in the courtroom. He is a man that was sent to relieve Israel of their suffering. Jephthah was a bastard. People don't use that term today, at least not here in America, because so many people are born outside of wedlock, and bastard just has such a negative connotation, although it's a real word, and being born outside of marriage is a real thing. But this is the thing. Jephthah was a child born of prostitution. His father was Gilead. Gilead was from the Israelites. Gilead was married and had two other sons. And it looks like Gilead's wife might have been raising Jephthah. And I'm probably going to call him Jeff for short down the line. So somehow Jephthah must have been part of the household, because his brother said, "You don't get to partake in our father's inheritance. You need to go somewhere. You ain't getting what's here, okay? We don't share the same mama. Our mama is a legal wife, and I don't know what y'all doing, but what you doing, but you need to get the heck up out of here, Jeff." And so Jeff was rejected by his family, and he ran away to a land called Tob, T-O-B. There he hung out with, the Bible says, vain men. And when you look into the reference, what does vain men mean? Well, it refers you to 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. The explanation for vain men is, and it talks about how David, when David was in exile, running away from Saul, He gathered everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. So this is what is referred to vain men. I mean, it's referred as vain men in this passage, talking about Jeff. So Jeff hung out with the lowest of the low. Okay, he felt low. He hung out with low people. His mama was a hoe. It's just bad, you know, right? But he was chosen by God, and he was anointed. The Bible called him a mighty man of valor. At the very beginning, when God introduces him in his Bible, he says, Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. Just because you were born out of wedlock and born into a bad situation, let's say your dad did step out on your mom and had you have a purpose, and God has empowered you to do something here on earth. And that doesn't change, okay? But check this out. So now the Bible says, when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, Ammon is a bad guy, Israel is a good guy, okay? When the people of Ammon came against Israel, that's when Jeff's family came looking for him. Now remember, Jeff's off, he ran away because he was rejected by his family, but they came looking for him when Ammon came for war, because Jeff was a mighty man of valor. He was probably big, you know, or a big dude, could be like 6 feet tall, big muscles, just thick neck, you know what I'm saying? Just a big old dude, and skilled at war. So his family came looking for him and said they needed him. And Jeff was like, why you coming looking for me? Why you need me now? And they said, well, look, if you come back, we promise to make you the leader and the captain over us. And he was like, oh, really? Really? Okay. You promise? All right. So the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. Now, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah first, which means the anointing came on him. The power of God came on him. But Jeff said, oh, I'm going to one up this. I'm going to make a vow. Well, the anointing's already there. Why do you need to make a vow, Jeff? Why? And so he made a vow to sacrifice as a burnt offering whatever stepped out of his house after the battle. Did God need him to do that? No, he was already anointed for the battle. But no, he had to one up God. So anyway, like I said, God did not ask him to make this vow, but he made a vow that he was going to sacrifice as a burnt offering whatever came out of his house. This is really bad, y'all. Okay. So anyway, Jeff went to the battle. He won. Guess he led the whole army there. And when he came home, the first person to come out of his house was his daughter. Now, let's say it wasn't his daughter and it was somebody else. Why are you sacrificing people? That is not a practice of Israel. But what does he know about Israel? His mama was a prostitute. She probably wasn't even from the tribe of Israel. You know, I understand there's prostitutes in every nationality, but apparently his mama didn't seem to come from the tribe of Israel, because they did not sacrifice people in the tribes of Israel. So he's bringing his practices with him and vows to burn up whoever shows up out of his house. And it ends up being his daughter. And the Bible says it was his only daughter. His first and only child. Okay? So he was wailing. Oh no, I vowed to sacrifice my daughter. And then he tells her about the vow. And she says, Father, you have to do whatever you vowed to do. Now, come on. They take vows very, very seriously. You know, they took vows very, very seriously back in that day. I get that. And a vow is very serious. But he could have done something else. I mean, anyway. So check this out, though. This is where it gets crazy. This is where it gets crazy. She was given 2 months to hang out with the girls in the mountains to mourn because she was going to die a virgin. Okay, so throw your phone down, pick it back up. Not that she was going to die. She's not mourning that she's going to die. She's mourning because she's going to die a virgin. What? The Bible says she went to bewail her virginity. What the heck? So after 2 months, she came down and her father killed her and sacrificed her as a burnt offering. And it became a custom after that, that every year they would take 4 days and mourn for this girl. So she became a national holiday. Anyway, this is bad. So after that, you would think, okay, life was over. I mean, this all this stuff was over with, but it wasn't over with. It kept going. Ephraim, a tribe of Israel. Remember, Ephraim and Manasseh, I believe, were the children of Joseph, who replaced one of the brothers. Anyway, there was Ephraim, a tribe of Israel, and they rose up and they were angry that Jeph went to battle without them. Now, does it matter? You got the Ammonites coming to kill everybody. And everybody went to Jeph and said, Jeph, help us. And Jeph did. And then Gilead came and said, you know, help us, Jeph. Jeph obeyed. Jeph did what he's supposed to do. Even gave up his daughter. And guess what? Ephraim comes up, a whole tribe of Israel, and says, you went to battle without us. We're going to burn your house down and you with it. So I'm not even going to give you the moral of that story. So the Ephraimites, I'll call them the Emites, and the Gileadites, I'll call them the Gedites, went to war. And the Gedites beat the Emites. Now, some of the Emites escaped. It's about to get funny, y'all. Some of the Emites escaped, but the Gedites controlled the passages of Jordan so that the Emites who had escaped had to go through the passages in order to get back home. So that's when the Gedites caught them. And they were like, hey, you, are you an Emite? They were like, no, we're not Emites. We're not Emites. What do you mean you're not an Emite? Okay. They were like, can we go through? Can we pass through? And they were like, nah, you're an Emite. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not Emites. Okay, I give you a test. Say this word, Shibboleth. Say this word, Shibboleth. So the Emites were like, Shibboleth. Wrong answer. Off with your head. So the Gedites checked their accent to see if they could pronounce a certain word, because they probably all looked alike because they all from the tribe of Israel. The Emites couldn't say the word Shibboleth, with the SH sound. They couldn't frame their mouth to say Shibboleth. So they got marked and killed. So the total Emites that got killed by the Gedites were 42,000. 42,000. That's a lot of people to get killed when guns didn't even exist. Okay? I don't even think dynamite existed. But 42,000 people got killed, and they didn't even have automatic rifles. That's a slaughter. Where did they put all those bodies? I don't know. The Bible talks about these wars, and it's really bloody. It's really, really bloody when you really get into it. Especially Judges. So, what are the lessons that you're going to learn in this story? Well, you can pull out a lot of lessons of your own, but I'll give you a few lessons that I pulled out. First of all, the judges were people that God chose, and he had the right to choose anybody to relieve the suffering of Israel. The judges were not perfect. Again, the judges were very flawed. They were just human people, just people with jacked up lives who God chose and put his anointing on to go to war, to get rid of the people who were oppressing his people. And in this case, it was the Ammonites. Judges were anointed. It was a power outside of them that allowed them to be victorious in battle. It was the power of God. And it's laid on them in the process of the anointing. We call it the anointing when it's really like a power up. it's like a power up in a video game. It's extra power coming from outside of you, okay? Now, Jeff's anointing was there before the vow came on him. God did not inspire him to make the vow. That's another point. I think I made that point earlier when I was telling you the story. God did not inspire Jeff to burn up his daughter. That was not a practice of Israel. It was not written in the laws. It wasn't in Leviticus. It wasn't in the Ten Commandments. That was not what God told him to do. All right. So, Jeff's mother was a prostitute. His father was married. God can still use you, even if you came here under the not so virtuous circumstances. All right, you're not automatically disqualified. Now, I think I mentioned that earlier as well. Another point. Why did the daughter come down from the mountain? If you knew your daddy was going to kill you, and you had your girlfriends with you, why are you coming down from the mountain to die? That's just like, I don't get that. Why? Why? Okay. Now, another thing. Prostitution is governed by this spirit called Lilith. Lilith. L-I-L-I-T-H. I believe it was Lilith that caused Jeff to vow to sacrifice his only daughter. Why? Because Lilith doesn't want you to have kids. Lilith doesn't want you to have a relationship with kids. In multiple sessions that I've had, this spirit of Lilith blocks children from having a relationship with their father. It blocks the mother from having the love of a mother towards her daughter. Lilith hates kids. She hates babies. She wants you to abort all your babies. She wants you to sell sex, have sex outside of marriage, really sell sex, and then she wants you to abort and give up all your kids. So this man was a child of prostitution, and therefore this spirit over prostitution did not want him to have a daughter, and that's why she was the first one that came running out of his house, because this whole thing was orchestrated by Lilith. So another point, Jeff dealt with rejection due to his father stepping outside of the marriage. The only remedy for that is the spirit of adoption. I mean, he did have a daddy, but he wasn't a part of the family. I mean, any child that's born out of adultery is not going to be received very well into the family. All right. That may be your situation. So rejection will come with that. And you need the spirit of adoption to rectify that from the Holy Spirit. Also, oh, wow. He was cut off from his father's inheritance, even though that was his daddy. He was not entitled to a proper inheritance because he was born out of wedlock. He was born outside of the legal marriage. Another point. The attack from the Ephraimites, I believe, not only was another sign of rejection because the Ephraimites were a part of the tribes of Israel. So why is this man from the tribe of Israel, the Gileadites, being attacked by his own people. He was attacked by his own brothers, and that's why he was put out of his house in the first place, or sent away. He was put out, disassociated. So again, this happens again, only on a war level, where the people of Ephraim are coming to attack him and his army because they didn't include him in the battle of the Ammonites. Now, why would they care about him not including them in the battle? Because they probably wanted the spoils of war. It probably had something to do with gold, stuff, things, spoils. So they were like, why didn't you bring us in on the fight? We wanted to be a part of that. And so anyway, Ephraim, his own people, attacked him. Another sign of rejection. And the last point I want to tell you is that, and I mentioned this before, I have here number 10, but I mentioned this first. Just because God sends somebody to help you and deliver you from oppression does not mean that this person has a perfect life. And who are you to attack somebody for not having a perfect life when your life is messed up and you need help? And God is sending this person who's also jacked up to help you. And this person has helped you successfully, but then you still want to turn around and reject this person. It doesn't make sense. So, but that happens a lot. That happens a lot. So, that is really the end. I want to invite you to share this podcast with anyone who wants to listen, or anyone who you think needs to listen to this. Go read the book of Judges, chapter 11 and 12, and you'll read all about Jephthah the Gileadite and this, everything that I've told you here. You can go through, underline it, check it off, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a lot of things in this one story. I don't even remember reading it before. I'm sure I did, but just today, reading this story in the Bible just made me feel like this is the first time I've ever seen it. So yeah, go and enjoy your Bible, and I'll check you out in the next podcast.